from KQED.
Well, former Israeli Prime Minister and President Shimon Peres died yesterday at the age of 93 from complications from a stroke. He was a key figure in Israel's political life for seven decades and one of the architects of the Oslo Peace Accords. He was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1994 with Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat. And joining us to remember Peres, actually, let me give out the phone number first before I introduce the guest we have set to talk about Shimon Peres. If you'd like to join us, in fact, I invite you to do that now. Our toll-free number is available to you if you have memories of Peres or if you simply want to go on record here with some thoughts and reflections about him and what he accomplished, which is certainly a great deal. You can join us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786, and that number is available to you. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, which is kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And again, we welcome your involvement. Shimon Peres was president from 2007 to 2014. He was also finance minister, and he was also in charge of foreign affairs, that is, foreign affairs minister for Israel, held many positions. And it's interesting in reading these obituaries because he was a man who was acclaimed not only by the Nobel Prize, but given a great deal of respect and admiration throughout the world. And yet, well, let's talk about this with Michael Oren, who we have with us. And Michael Oren, good to have you with us on the forum program. Michael Oren is going to be joining us shortly. Michael Oren, by the way, was U.S. ambassador to Israel and is also a well-known historian, and we're trying to connect with him now. Just to add to a few of the other things I said that probably ought to go on record here, he was a statesman and he was a man who, you know, was very eager to make peace with Palestinians. He's been criticized, of course, by some of them, but Mahmoud Abbas, for example, has said very flattering and positive things about his working relationship with Peres. He said, you know, our closest neighbors ought to be our closest friends. And yet he was a man of peace and a man who was not necessarily all that beloved in his own country. So I thought we'd talk to Michael Oren about this. And Michael Oren, we have you on.
You do have me on. Good morning from Los Angeles.
Good morning to you. And we're trying to remember Shimon Peres here. What stands out in so many people's minds is the extraordinary connection he had to wanting to make peace and to being really a master of peace, because he got the Nobel Prize, after all.
He did indeed. And, you know, it was my unique experience and opportunity and really blessing to have studied him first as an historian. I'm an historian by training. And as a figure in Israel's history, because you can't look at any chapter in Israel's history from its founding in 1948 through the difficult years of the 50s, the upheavals around the peace process, the settlement movement, the Entebbe raid. Every chapter in Israeli history, you open up and there is Shimon Peres. But then when I became Israel's ambassador to Washington in 2009, I got to work with Shimon Peres and to befriend him. And I found that as a person, even more than sort of an historical figure, he was larger than life, a man of irrepressible optimism, of great intellectual and moral and, believe it or not, physical strength. The man used to sleep about 3 hours a night, and his staff would always be exhausted trying to keep up with him, even when he was in his late 80s. And a man of very robust figure.
An extraordinary man, and a man, by the way, who not only won the Nobel Prize, but was awarded the 2012 Medal of Honor by President Obama. Many people throughout the world admired him, but, you know, you read these obituaries, and what they say is in his own homeland, in Israel, there were many, of course, who did not admire him the way he was admired globally.
It's true, and he did not win elected office, certainly not the elected office he wanted. He wanted to be prime minister, but there was, in the Shimon Peres' story, a great, I would say, a redemptive element, that a person who perseveres, who sets before him a vision and remains faithful to that vision, ultimately will be appreciated and ultimately will be remembered with reverence.
Is it fair to say that he should be remembered also as the moderate voice who spoke up pretty consistently on that level in opposition to Bibi Netanyahu?
Yes, and yet they had a certain friendship, and I know because I was in many ways put between them as ambassador, and I have a memoir of my time in Washington, which is out. It's called Ally, and I have a whole section on the relationship between Netanyahu and Peres, and what an interesting relationship it was. In many ways, you know, Peres was the senior statesman. And he had the great moral authority of having been the right-hand man to David Ben-Gurion, who was Israel's George Washington. It's true, they did not agree on certain things, like the peace process. They agreed on other things. They agreed on the Iran nuclear deal, for example. And it's not widely remembered that Peres, like Netanyahu, opposed the Iran nuclear deal. Peres did not agree with the way Netanyahu opposed it, but there was no question about that Peres thought that the deal was not a good deal for Israel. At the end of the day, I know that Netanyahu respected Peres. He didn't agree with him on many things, but there was that fundamental sense of here is a senior statesman, here is a person who believes in something, and Netanyahu has respect for people who actually believe in things. And they were able to cooperate on many issues together.
We're talking to historian and former Israeli ambassador to the United States, Michael Oren. He's with us by phone this morning from Los Angeles, talking about Shimon Peres, who passed away yesterday. And again, if you have some remembrances of Shimon Peres, or if you want to raise some questions here, we do welcome your involvement in the program. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or post questions or comments you might have right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. A little strange footnote about Shimon Peres. He was a cousin to Lauren Bacall. I don't know how many people know that.
Their original name was Persky.
Let me get to, especially since, you know, so we have so many listeners in Silicon Valley. He was a high-tech guy, and he had a lot to do with high-tech.
He was a deep believer in high-tech. He believed that high-tech was Israel's future, you know, was Israel's frontier and Israel's future. And he was particularly interested in what he called brain science. And no matter how many times I would tell him that it's actually neurology, he didn't listen. It was brain science. And what Peres would always tell me was that the human brain is the most extraordinary organ, because it's capable of understanding everything around it, but incapable of understanding itself.
And what about, I'm sorry, go ahead, finish your thought.
It was the typical sort of bon mot from Shimon Peres. He was very good at that.
And yet disappointed that the peace process was not moved, particularly since he actually had a lot to do with brokering the Oslo Accords. He must have been disappointed.
He was the architect of the Oslo Accords. Yes, he was frustrated and saddened. And he remained an optimist. He was irrepressible in his optimism.
He's also, let's talk about some of the things he's responsible for. He'll be remembered for the nuclear program that Israel has never really admitted to or been all that open about, but it's there, and Dimona, and he was kind of the architect there too, wasn't he?
He was the architect of that. He was the architect of the Entebbe raid. What he will probably not be remembered for is that he was the champion of the settler movement in the 70s, the early settlements. And he had sort of a transformation. He had a transformation after the first intifada. Now we're talking about the late 80s, early 90s, which convinced him that Israel could not maintain the status quo in the West Bank and Gaza, and that Israel should move for a breakthrough with the Palestine Liberation Organization, which at that time, even talks with the PLO were illegal under Israeli law, even under American law, and because it was a terrorist organization. And he made that breakthrough. And the fact of the matter is that today, Benjamin Netanyahu, for all of his differences with Shimon Peres, just came out in the UN. I was with him several days ago in the General Assembly. And he said, I favor a two-state solution for two people. Now, that type of remark from any Israeli prime minister, much less an Israeli prime minister who's the head of the Likud party, would have been unthinkable without the work of Shimon Peres.
Well, I remembered the statement he made when, and it got a lot of coverage, of course, our closest neighbors can be, and I think implied ought to be, our closest friends. And that was really something he optimistically, as you pointed out, hope deeply for. I'm looking at a tweet here from a listener named Thomas. Says, Shimon Peres was an excellent man. I remember hearing him speak in San Francisco a few years back. I shook his hand. A very strong individual. You were talking about his physical strength, the lack of sleep, but also probably a pretty strong handshake.
I would imagine. Yes.
Yeah.
And a person of, I also knew what he'd love to talk to me about. Every time I'd come back to Israel for a visit, we'd sit and have breakfast. And you know what we used to talk about? We'd talk about books. He was a great reader. And he always wanted to know what were the best books I had read recently. He loved modern history. He loved French history. You know, he spoke fluent French. And we would talk about the French leaders he knew in the 40s and the 50s. That not many people remember today. Guy Mollet, Christian Pinault. Who remembers these people in America today? But he knew them all personally. And
well, he was always at Davos. I mean, he had, you know, these international contacts and
sure,
admirers
he was
throughout
an
the world.
Man.
But what would you think somebody, well, let me put it to you just bluntly. What should he be most remembered for? What do you think he ought to be most remembered for?
I think he'll be remembered as the man who brought hope for peace to the world. I'll be boarding a plane from Los Angeles to Israel to attend the funeral. The funeral will be attended by President Obama, by the Clintons, by the Pope. And you ask yourself, how many world figures today, in their passing, would command that type of reverence and respect from world leaders? And I think the reason is that he represented a sense that we all need, that there is hope for peace, that there is a great strength born of vision. And it's a testament to Shimon Peres. It's a testament to the state of Israel and everything we stand for. And I think ultimately it's a testament to the human spirit.
And when you talk about hope for peace, the two of the major leaders of Israel, Yitzhak Rabin, who was assassinated, now Shimon Peres, who really stood out in terms of working toward peace, are now gone. Who's going to fill those shoes?
Well, I think, remember, it's not just Israel. We live in the toughest neighborhood in the world. States that used to be near or on our borders, Iraq and Syria, don't exist anymore. Hundreds of thousands of people killed. And it's difficult to maintain a vision of peace in that type of environment. And Israelis are justifiably very skeptical about the possibility of creating a Palestinian state on our borders that could easily become Syria tomorrow and fall to ISIS. It's not so simple. But the prime minister, our government, I'm a minister in that government, all subscribe to the two-state formula. We will try to work for it. We'll try to lay the groundwork for it, even though if it can't be achieved tomorrow. There's another side to the story. The side is the Palestinian side. The leader of the Palestinian, Mahmoud Abbas, is not sitting down and negotiating with us. He's taking different courses. So there are many factors. I deeply believe that if a Palestinian leader comes to the people of Israel and says, I am willing to make peace. I'm willing to make peace on mutual recognition of our rights to self-determination, to truly ending this conflict, that the Israeli people, even the skeptics among us, will resonate to that and will embrace it. And that is the same spirit that Shimon Peres embodied.
Well, let's hope, in fact, his memories stay alive, and particularly his desire for peace may indeed be a catalyst or have some effect. Michael Oren, Ambassador Oren, good to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. And we are going to, when we come back, talk about Syria. Stay tuned. You're listening to Forum on KQED. I'm Michael Krasny.